Welcome to episode 190 of Sports Geek. On this week's episode, I chat innovation with Orlando Magic's Jack Elkins.
Welcome to Sports Geek, the podcast built for sports digital and sports business professionals. And now, here's your host who can dance, but only after midnight, Sean Callanan.
Thanks, DJ Joel. My name is Sean Callanan, and you are listening to Sports Geek. And that DJ Joel intro will make much more sense when we get into the interview with Jack Elkins, my guest today, who I was lucky enough to catch up with at the Business of Sports Summit, BOSS, as I do mention it in the podcast. If you're trying to figure out what BOSS is, it was the Business of Sports Summit held in Sydney. Thanks to the guys at Connect Media for inviting me to go along. Before I get into the interview with Jack, it's showtime. My Melbourne International Comedy debut will be happening on April 12. If you're listening to this soon after this is released, that's this week. So April 12, Thursday night, I'll be on stage. I'll be doing 10 minutes. I've done a trial show or two. I've worked on my material, and hopefully I've got 10 minutes, probably a little bit more, probably a little bit less. It'll see how it plays on the night. So April 12, or Sunday, the afternoon show, the final show of the Comedy Festival for the School of Hard Knock Knocks. It really should be sold out by now. I'll be tapping people on the shoulder, but if you are looking for a show this week and you can't get in and it does say sold out, please send me a tweet or an email. You can go to seancallanan.com/comedy for all the links to the tickets. As I said, if it's sold out and you really want to come, please let me know. Yeah, I know a guy. I can most likely get you in. Before I get into my chat with Jack Elkins from the Orlando Magic, just as always, if there's a way that Sports Geek can help you or help your business or help your team or help your brand to activate and reach sports fans, I'd love to help. I love helping podcast listeners, talking to them about what they're doing in the sports marketing and digital technology space. You can reach out to me, sean@sportsgeekhq.com. You can book him for a phone call. Just go to sportsgeekhq.com/phone call. We'll have a chat, find out how or if we can help you. And if I can't help you, I'll help you find someone who can help you. That's what I like doing, especially for people who take the time to listen to the podcast. As I said, my guest today is Jack Elkins. He was a guest way back in episode 60, back in 2014, when the Magic were just starting out on their innovation journey. If you know, everyone's on an innovation journey, but they were just starting out and they were still trying to figure out what it was for them and also what they would tell people. So it's good to catch up with Jack. We do catch up regularly at SEAT. And looking forward to catching up with him again at SEAT in Dallas. But they've progressed. They've gone through about 50 to 60 innovation projects out of the lab they've got there at the Orlando Magic. And so Jack shared both in his keynote at BOSS, but then also in this chat, what you can do for innovation and to foster innovation inside your organization, no matter what size it is, and how you can plan innovation. It's not restricted to the big corporates of the world, the big telcos or the big soft drink companies that often run innovation labs. How can the world of sports tackle it? And to a certain degree, why they must tackle it. Here's my chat with Jack Elkins. Jack Elkins from the Orlando Magic, lucky enough to catch up in person. Like the last time, it was via the old Skype and the tyranny of distance. I think it was probably 7 o'clock in the morning, and I hadn't had a coffee, and it was probably after the first time we met at SEAT, I think. And so it's been good to spend some time with you here at BOSS and hear your thoughts on innovation. How's the last couple of days been for you?
It's been pretty good, but we need to clarify boss. People might be wondering what that is.
Okay, so this is, but in the world of podcasts, I've done intros and outros and everyone's, but so boss, I know, again, oh cool. Boss is the Business of Sports Summit. It's been 2 days here. You've been one of the keynote speakers talking about what you're doing, you know, from an innovation point of view at the Magic. And even when we first spoke, and again, I've done no research on this, most of my podcasts are done this way, but like, because you were sort of starting that out, that process out, and it's filled out a lot more in the last couple of years.
I think we've done a lot more since when we first spoke.
Yep.
We've actually started speaking publicly about it since then as well. We were probably a little bit more vague the first time we chatted about what we were doing around innovation. And our strategy has been proven out in a few different ways. In fact, what I feel most proud of, not the least of which is being able to be sitting here with you, being called out to have a chance to share, because one of the things I really care about is building creative leaders and fostering innovation in sports. This is my highest goal.
Yep.
I wouldn't say that I necessarily really held the caliber of the rest of the speakers we had at the conference, but it was fun to get a chance to share because, in my mind, I think we're doing a good job figuring out how you do innovation at a small to mid-sized sports team.
Yep.
How do you do it well? How do you do it for under $250,000? We're not big behemoths like the rest of industry that have done this for decades.
Yep.
And so I think we're figuring out what are those corporate theories that you got to use that work for you.
Yeah, and that's the thing, that it's happening at big corporate, right? It's happening at, you know, it's happening at Coca-Cola, or it's happening at the car companies, or, you know, or in Elon Musk's case, every single company's involved, you know, that he's involved in, that kind of thing. But that it's happening at that bigger level, but it's like, how does it apply to sport? And the thing that, one of the things I took away from your presentation, one, was the electric start to get everyone up and about and jolt them into action, which is part of the innovation process, to like get people out of their comfort zone. And, you know, you did some improv type classes, the word chucker. So getting people out of the, you know, trying to tell a story. And, you know, as someone who's done improv class, I love that kind of stuff because it gets you moving. But Take us through some of those types of exercises you do to sort of reframe the brains of people that just to get yourself into that space.
Well, first off, every time we do a project, every time we come together, we do a energizer or an engagement, an improv engagement, something to take you out of your normal state. Most of the time, our normal state is in a we're in a fight or flight mode. Our autonomic nervous system is in a sympathetic response, right?
Yep.
Our body's pumping adrenaline, our heart rate's increased, we're getting things done. But that's not necessarily the best place for solving problems. We're not balanced thinking. We're only able to think and maintain a certain amount of thoughts in our mind. And when we're in a sympathetic response, a lot of times we can't get things past the dorsolateral prefrontal cortex and just nothing can happen. And so to get to that space, the altered state, a lot of times we'll do something creative, we'll do something fun.
Yep.
The interesting thing is, it's the same in sport.
Yep.
People seek us out for those altered states, right? Mm-hmm. Across human history, right? The greatest civilizations are the ones that had these tremendous monuments and had tremendous beliefs, religious beliefs. They were all seeking, they had tremendously large stadiums and places where they got together. They were seeking these altered states out of their status quo. I love, I just recently, just as an example, read the book by Stephen Kotler, Stealing Fire.
Okay.
And they use the example of Burning Man as the place where most creative executives go to get into that place where they get to the highest novelty of idea.
Yep.
Does it make sense?
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, like but it is taking you out of your comfort zone. And one thing I want to ask you as a father of a young child, right? And I remember back when my kids were young, they're no longer the case, but I remember when I was playing with my young kids, whether it be puzzles or finger painting, all that stuff, the kids that the child's play stuff that as you just forget. Like it sort of gets trained out of you as an adult, that sort of, and I can remember having really, you know, big creative moments that were coming out of because I was doing a lot of that. Is that, do you see a little bit of that, you know, as a father, but then also what you're trying to do in this innovation workshops and what you're doing at the Magic?
Well, I don't see it as a father just yet. He's one and he hasn't All he's doing
is telling him to get more creative.
He's just sticking things in his mouth right now, but I love every minute of it. But as it pertains to being creative, what we don't realize, and I didn't finish the piece about the autonomic nervous system. The other side from a sympathetic response is what's called a parasympathetic response.
Yep.
This is when our body starts to relax, our digestive system restarts. The easiest way for us to get into parasympathetic response, where we have a balanced brain activity and we can access brain waves that allow us to be creative. The easiest way to get in there is to do something creative.
Yep.
But if you're trying to force it, one of the first things you can do is just connect to your breath. That's why you see all these teams and you see all these organizations starting to focus on mindfulness training.
Yep.
It's because it has a healing characteristic, a healing property. And I tremendously believe that when you can remove the barriers to the creative potential of your staff, it's healing to your organization as well. When we can solve problems and co-create solutions together.
And some of the things that, like, I think when I was first trying to figure out what you were doing at the Magic and the way you were describing it, and again, you're right, early on, you were vague because you're like, we're trying to figure this out. We don't want to be waving the flags a bit too hard. But, you know, you came back here and you said, we've done, 50 or 60 projects overall. And then the other thing is you put your hand up and said, oh, I don't do them. Like you yourself, you're like, mm-hmm. you're driving it and letting people, you know, come up with the idea and then put their hand up as, you know, the team captain for the one that drives mm-hmm. it. And so you can't just say, oh, we're going to do innovation. That guy's the guy doing it for our organization. Cause it doesn't work like that, does it?
No. And it would be wrong and tremendously arrogant of me to think that I could be the guy to do that.
Yep. Innovation
happens within an organization all the time. We have amazing colleagues, staff, super smart people. My job is simply to try to be the servant leader that removes the barriers to their potential. And a lot of times it's not just about removing the barriers, because it's not always about creating something new or just finding somebody else who's done it well. One of the biggest things is making sure that we have spaces and permissions and just ways for our people to come together, because the biggest thing is usually just to let go.
Yep.
The biggest thing is usually just to let go and take the long view, move past our habitual ways of thinking and acting. And like you said earlier, I loved your comment about getting out of your comfort zone.
Yep.
You know, what are you doing to move out of your comfort zone so that you can learn something new and move forward?
Yep. And then the other part that I thought, and again, you can tell me if it's a key bit, was having the sign off from above that their natural position is going to be yes, not what we would call in Australia the don't argue, you know, the big push in the face, say no, like, but their default position will be yes. If you've still got to justify it, it's not they're going to go say yes to every.
You're asking what are the elements in our projects?
Yeah,
and our projects have basically three elements plus a challenge statement. They've got to have a project GM, a head coach, and a starting five.
Yep.
A starting five of cross-functional team members. But that project GM is a vice president in our organization that says this is worth spending time and resources on. You got to get permission to do the project. But our leaders are conditioned to say yes. They're not conditioned to say no.
So how did that switch happen? Because that doesn't say, hey, we're doing innovation, now I'll say yes. Because the default sometimes...
I didn't do anything. It wasn't me.
Okay.
It was really our CEO saying, we're going to try this. And what a lot of our leadership did early on was they said yes, just to ensure we got it going.
Yeah.
And it was...
And then it's a momentum thing.
Yeah, our first year we did 15 projects. It was incredible. And it was breakneck speed and pace. We failed a lot. We learned a lot. But what we were able to do in that time is pump through several staff, because when you're in the project, it's also capacity building. You're learning how to do some of this, and it's changing and tweaking your mindset. Go ahead. Yeah.
Has there been, because you've got those cross-functional teams and you're, you know, because one of the things is that, you know, the silos within organizations, has that both improved that cross-functional like communication? And have you actually found that staff members go, oh, I didn't know what they were doing over there. I actually
100%.
Could work and like had that career transition across the organization?
Look, we don't always get it right, and it ebbs and flows. If I put my foot on the gas from the bottom up, then maybe I'm losing some momentum from the top down if I do it vice versa. But the thing we hear the most about from our staff, what they love the most about the lab, is getting together with people and working with other individuals from other departments in the organization that it's not siloed, but they don't typically work with. And we actually have something about our office that's a challenge that this is actually a benefit for, is our office is in two different locations.
Okay.
Half of our staff is works out of our arena. Half of our staff works out of a headquarters 15 minutes north.
So is that like the basketball operations people in the front office, or is it just
not even? It's a true break. There's basketball operations and corporate office and some
so it's a mix
premium
of both
service.
Okay.
Down at the arena, box office, retail. And then at our headquarters, you know, a lot of the business operations folks, our ticket sales, our innovation lab, our business strategy group, our community group. And so we're truly bifurcated. And
yep.
Any time that you can get your staff together, increase transparency, have some fun. I mean, this year we've been tremendously taxed in terms of our time. There's not a lot of capacity to do a whole lot of projects this year. So the other day, to increase the projects going into our off season, we just had a beer float social in the lab. Didn't cost us, but just a couple dozen. It was just a couple beers, a couple bucks, some ice cream. We got together and they peppered the wall with things that they wanted to work on in the summer.
I have some of my best ideas with beer. So you'd be shocked to know that.
Well, we're going to have you next time we do it.
Yeah, I'll be happy to be a guest at that workshop. I guess one of the other things that I took away was how the team, and it's on the roadmap, how the team can be using innovation as a professional service back to your partners and to be potentially a revenue generator. Because, again, people come to sports for – you know, what they do professionally and what they're doing on the court. But if you're doing killer things in the innovation space, how can you go back to the sponsor and say, well, we can help you run these kind of workshops?
Well, so this is an interesting story for us. We have not done very many engagements in this space yet, but I'll explain it. But I also want to couch it to say I'm not sure we're going to treat it as a revenue generator just yet. Yep. Managed services, it's probably not going to be a huge windfall, but it's going to be tremendous added value to partners that want to use this.
Yep.
So we've created a line where over the last 4.5 years, everything we've learned from studying neuroscience, behavioral economics, design methods, lean business practices, corporate innovation theory and what works for us, all these different things that have led to us doing things that help groups make smarter decisions,
yep.
Bring people together to co-create solutions, align around those solutions together. We can now offer these services as training camps to our contractual partners in both the premium and corporate partner space.
And the appetite or the, you know, because again, the bigger corporates have probably got that sorted, but you've got this mid-size, you know, businesses and
partners.
Yeah,
and it's not like we're trying to go out and sell this. We're just responding to what people are saying. Hey, we've heard you have this lab. Can we get involved? And of course, we want to make that open to you.
Yep. I'm obviously a geek and, you know, love everything that technology is. It's, a lot of people see the word innovation and think, oh, it's something to do with tech. How many of your projects have been in that space to go, oh, we'll do something tech? And how many of them have just been process innovation and improving the way things, you know?
It's a great question. I don't know the breakdown right now. But I would say it's very split.
Yeah.
And the majority of our projects, in our process, the first iteration of a project, we've got $1,000 for every single one of those.
Yep.
The amount of times that I touch that budget is minimal because the majority of our projects, they don't take any money. They are process oriented.
Yep.
Or it doesn't take any money to try, test the technology or some sort of implementation around it.
So it is, oh, we've always done it this way. What would happen if we do this, do the test? It might be a cost saving, so there's no budget, or it's just labor doing something different.
There's two types of projects that we run. There's a project from start to finish on a novel concept, and we probably have to go find the technology that we're looking for. Or there's a concept that we just run an experiment on it.
Yep.
The interesting thing is, you mentioned technology and innovation. Our definition of innovation is the creation is, well, the Webster's version is the creation of something new that's also useful. We like to say it's the ability to keep your business model nimble and moving forward.
Okay.
So innovation for us could come in a process. It could come from us doing some cost savings. It can definitely come in the form of a digital technology, which is what a lot of the emerging technologies are these days.
Yep.
But it'd be wrong to just silo it and saying innovation is just digital or technology.
So the other thing is that, you know, innovation's not an island. You can't do it all by yourself. What are you doing, you know, in the Orlando scene to sort of like the ecosystem of what's happening in startups and what's happening in the different space? Because you've got to be connected to that to sort of say, oh, this is what's happening. How can we apply it to us? Or maybe I can help those two people make that connection. How are
you're
you
doing
working
a great
in
job.
That
keep
space?
Telling me how we should do it, and then keep
but
going.
But how are you sort of trying to? Because that's a you know that's a really deep so ecosystem that you can get.
You've mentioned another part of our strategy. So there's the reason this all started, and we talked about this on the first podcast, is because the Magic have a core value around innovation, and all we were trying to do is activate it. And based on the way it's written, we're trying to activate it both internally and externally. So internally is how we started with the lab, and it helped shift our cultural thinking. But as over time, as staff changes and turns over, we've got to keep our foot on the gas, do more projects. We've actually started to do some training, whereas we didn't do that early on. We wanted to just experience it in a project. But the other strategy for us externally is we're a basketball team. We don't build tech, hardware, or anything like that. We look for where it's being done really well. What's something new and cool that we need to be taking a look at? And if we need something built, where can we go? So we have to have relationships in this ecosystem because I can't spend all day just trying to pinpoint one another. I'm very jealous of our colleagues out on the West Coast that maybe have it right in their backyard. But for us, we have relationships with different several local VCs, several VCs around the nation, different accelerators in sports. We actually are a member of an angel network to understand and be potentially in the to be in the know of what they're doing due diligence on.
Yep.
But even the local tech transfer offices at the universities, we're trying to keep our pulse on where this emerging tech is coming from so we can grab a piece of it.
Yeah, because, I mean, it is funny, and you know, you talk about Silicon Valley and that, and one of the things in Australia, and it's maybe more of a politician's thing, that's like, oh, suburb, you know, City X is going to be the Silicon Valley of Australia or that kind of thing. But it's almost like, and, you know, there's a strong startup scene here in Sydney. It's the same in Melbourne. It seems that that culture and that I can build it from anywhere is happening, you know, not just in the Valley, it's everywhere. And so getting connected to that is, you know, really vital for a sports team if they want to be in that space in some way.
It is vital, but there's only one Silicon Valley, right? And in Orlando, we do not have a mecca of sports technology.
Yep.
One of the things we do have is a lot of technology. We just don't have a whole lot of investment in Orlando, so there is not a treasure trove of startups in that space. We've got to look outside our walls for knowledge that we don't have, things that we know we can't master in order to move forward. I mean, probably the best example of Silicon Valley is Tel Aviv, right?
Yep.
But we're nowhere near either one of them.
Yeah.
So who are my colleagues in those areas that I can have relationships with in order to see what's coming?
So that thing of the knowledge piece, and it is sort of one of the in questions I sort of end up of. So where are you? What are you reading? Where are you going? What places are you going to? Whether it's websites or books or groups to stay connected to find out what they're doing. Because the thing is, you know, doesn't matter where it is in the world, you're only a click away from all of that knowledge. But where are you clicking?
Look, first and foremost. Okay, the first thing about where you go look is it's not about you. I have to start internally to know what it is that we have and the people that are in charge of the places that would implement something. What is it that they are using now? What would be complementary to them? What would be something that they're looking for to the future? And then as best as possible, based on what I know is coming with the within emerging tech, what is something that maybe they're not thinking of that would be complementary or the next step. And so I have to know the business really well. I have to know my colleagues really well. Once you've done that for me,
because then you've got the context. Otherwise you're just,
exactly.
You're
but some just of the, and some of the best places I look are my other colleagues in the industry. There are some specific VCs that are really helpful because they, what their fund targets matches what our pillars are.
Yeah.
Right. One of the things I love to read the most are the things that get me geeked about how I deliver on my highest goal, which is to build creative leaders and foster innovation in sports. So I like to study a lot of neuroscience. There's a lot of stuff that we're learning about the mind that's really helpful for how you help groups make smarter decisions and really helpful too on the performance side, on the team side, that match the pillars of the technology that we're looking for.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I mean, there is that. There's all that stuff that's happening on the court, and it's for all of that decision making. Mm-hmm. And you're trying to say, well, how can we also apply it in the business as well.
It's true. And you also, I have to be careful. I'm a voracious learner and voracious reader. And I have to balance that with the same thing I ask my colleagues to do is making sure I'm creating as much as I'm learning. And so I encourage everybody, you know, if you've go ahead and prototype something and build a model for it that you can test several times. We just prototyped a sprint with a Southeastern Conference school just to see how it worked before we brought it to our club. What are the things that you're building every day? Like, we should be creating things. Does it make sense?
Yeah, it makes complete sense. I mean, so what do you build? Like, that's my question. I mean, you know, what are you creating?
Why don't we get some brews out and get into an altered state? We might build some stuff right here.
We could. We might save that for the next session because we've got a limited time frame here. But on the creation piece, which was a question I was going to ask. Why don't you social media?
This is a funny thing we've had talks about. I don't participate in social media. You might see me doing a little more here in the future as it pertains to my own company, Persportives. But social media, it takes my time away from being able to learn more to help my colleagues. And it takes my time away from spending time creating.
Okay.
Right. Yep. I could be sharing, but I could also be creating. Yep. Right. And doing an engagement, a meaningful engagement with somebody. I guess I probably could spend a little more time sharing if it's to build. My goal is to build creative leaders and foster innovation. It'd be nice to share that I'm speaking at the Boss Summit.
Yeah. I don't begrudge you, you know, as everything. But I think, like, I guess my challenge to you is you've got a lot of great content that doesn't take, you know, that you just could share. And yes, your natural tendency will then be to have that backwards and forwards, and that's a time management.
And for everybody who doesn't know, there's a wonderful gentleman sitting right in front of me, Sean Callanan, who can help you with making sure you're really good at this.
Well, that's not the, and I'm more happy to help you. But the thing is, like, you know, I like talking to you and sharing your story because it's not getting shared, right? And you know, so we had 150 people in the room or whatever that saw you speak.
I think that.
And it's a story. I'm a bit of a storyteller.
Maybe moving forward, I'll share the story a little more. But until now, the most important thing is that to be an entrepreneur in an organization, to deliver on what we're trying to deliver, it's my role to put my colleagues ahead of me and spend as much time.
Yeah, you're pouring the content into the organization, and it's internal. Oh, so I completely understand that. It's not going outward. But as you said, coming out of, you know, the shell and sort of putting the hand up and saying, this is what we've done, that takes an external story.
And we have a tremendous opportunity in sports.
Yeah.
Right? We bring the human spirit together in these huge public assembly facilities with the opportunity to really scale innovation. Like, it's great that stuff can happen to sports, but we don't understand just how amazing the opportunity is for innovation to come out of sports, right? Yeah. There are teams that are capitalizing. We're attempting to be one of them.
Yep.
In accepting and bringing in emerging technology into the organization, if you integrate something as a client and you drink the Kool-Aid and really like what they're bringing, then the potential exists for you to help them scale because the majority of the money a startup spends is in marketing to try to grow, right? And the cachet of a sports team on a product that you're using and you love, what better voice to share that than the sports team? And we have a really great opportunity to share this out. We are at a point where I think we have started to prove that our model is something that could work for a small to mid-sized organization. So maybe we'll do another podcast and share some more.
Happy to. The other question I had, so this is your second visit to Australia. You were here a couple of years ago to Melbourne and been here in Sydney. What have you observed of the Australian market, or what questions do you have from all the conversations you've had over the journey with Australians, and they all haven't been me. You've been talking to other people. What have you observed, or what questions do you have?
Oh, what a loaded question. It's something everybody should do, no matter. Look, when you get outside your comfort zone, when you get outside your market and you come to another market or an overseas conference where they've spent a ton of time sourcing the best of the best from that region, you're going to learn a heck of a lot from the other perspectives within those sports bodies. And that's exactly what happens every time I come down here. I walk away mind blown with just a ton of thoughts and new ideas. And for us in the American market, I think one of the most apt things we've been having a conversation of on the last 2 days is thinking about what happens when legalized gambling hits the United States within sports. And
yeah, so for those who don't know, and I think I have probably discussed it before, and actually caught up with it with a guy who I did work with, one of the gambling operators. Gambling has been long legalized in Australia. You know, there's two flies walking up that wall. We can put a bet on it right now on my phone. I'm putting it on the one on the left. Which one do you want, Jack? No, so that's, and it's part of the culture of, you know, we've had a culture of betting, and it's very much ingrained hand in hand with the sports, with both the gambling partners being sponsors and partners. Some of them have their logos on the jerseys. And the interesting bit that I was talking to my friend who was in the gambling space was, you can see, like, it's going to come in, right, with the US. And so we can tell you where it's going to go. It's going to go in. There'll be this big cash grab. There'll be lots of money. The bookmakers will be throwing money at teams. It'll be great. Then what'll happen? The signage will happen in the stadium, and more and more. And then what's happened here is the correction of people saying, there's too many gambling ads. My child is looking at the TV and it's all gambling ads. And there was all gambling ads in all of the stadiums. And so they've course corrected and come back. So my thing will be, is it going to follow the same process? Is it going to be course corrected? So that's where I'm fascinated. But yeah, it's going to be, you know, and the other piece is the integrity piece around making sure everything is above board. And so I think there'll be a big brain drain in Australia for the people who work in the integrity side, whether it's in cricket or football, that are maintaining, you know, having the relationships with the gambling partners to make sure that there's no fixed games, point shaving, all of that kind of stuff that has to be, because you've got to have the integrity of your game. And so there's a bit, you know, there's a big industry or subsection of the industry that does that. That's
going to
be a problem.
You're so right. I didn't even think about that brain drain. Like, when that launches in the United States,
yeah,
they're going to turn to the markets that have done it well, and we're going to pull talent.
Yeah. So, you know, and so that's what, you know, I've been speaking to people, and people in that, that'll be their opportunity. If you, you know, so there's that piece. And then it's like, yes, you can look at the revenue piece of gambling, but there's that cost of, hey, we've got to cover the integrity. So you've got to put in this whole infrastructure of staff and things like, you know, that have come in that no staff, no one can use a mobile phone in the change rooms of sporting events, because that's where the late changes or injury notification, like, and again, it affects the betting and affects the odds and all of that kind of stuff. So there's those kind of, you know, integrity things that are rolled out, and then it's like they roll that out and the social media person can't walk into the sheds to take the photo, and so they have to work, how do we work that out? So there's a whole bunch of hoops you're going to have to jump through. There'll be a lot of cash, right? So there'll be a lot of cash. So everyone will be happy, but it's going to come with its ethical concerns and those kind of things as well that have got to be tackled. But I think, you know, I think Adam Silver's the most forward-looking of the commissioners and obviously sees it's coming. How can we get that deal done? You know, and the thing is, there is models, because there's a mountain of money bet on NBA games, you know, here in Australia. You know, that happens. And then there's the team operation stuff. You know, so I can't bet on games if I'm working with teams because of the integrity thing. So, yeah, it's all a big mess with a lot of cash. but it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out.
It will be.
Because I think, yeah, as you were asking that, and I showed you, it came up on my Facebook feed, you know, a gambling operator doing a jersey giveaway and a content piece with an NRL team, and you're like, wow, you know, it was blowing your mind.
It blew my mind to see gambling operators' logos on team jerseys.
Yeah. The brain drain will definitely happen. I'm sure when it happens, you know, give us a call and I can sort of give you a bit of a lay of the landscape. But it's going to be really interesting to see how it moves.
I think so too.
So we are short on time. So where's the best place for people to find you, and what email should people send to get some really great tips on changing the language of their organization?
Oh, okay, great. I appreciate you doing that. So one of the things we've learned over the last 4 years are several key phrases that can help influence the potential of the people around you. If you're interested in seeing what these phrases are, you can simply email languages@persportives.com. I actually think I did that wrong. Language at persportives.com. Persportive
is the word. You're sitting up two emails.
Yeah. Now I got to go and fix it. Language at persportives.com. And then
it'll send you an autoresponder with all the phrases to start changing the way you can chat the conversation. And it's a lot of impro stuff, the yes and.
It is.
Which I love.
And you can capture me on LinkedIn and Twitter as at persportives.
Okay, so link with Jack, and we hope to, and we'll probably see a lot of the listeners at Dallas. I think we're already planning to have a dance off at one of the nights.
You're going down
at Seat Dallas. Jack has challenged me to a dance off, and I don't know what he's got himself in for.
I'm not sure it was I don't know. It was a challenge. I think both of us just started saying how good we were, and it has turned into. We're going to prove it.
Yeah, yeah. So there won't be video. You actually have to be in. You have to be in Dallas to see it. But have a safe flight back, and I hope you get back in time to see your son walk.
It's very close. We're taking an early flight just to make sure we're home for it.
Yeah, you're like, oh, my son might start walking. I said, just keep knocking him over, and so you don't miss it.
all of our other friends have been saying, just strap him down for a few days.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, it won't affect the child. It won't, later, So thank you very much for your time here. Thanks for spending some time today, and I look forward to catching up in the future.
Thanks, Sean.
Download our Facebook campaigns guide at sportsgeekhq.com/FB campaigns.
Thanks again to Jack Elkins. You can send him a tweet, persportives, persportives. I will be continually needling Jack to share a little bit more of the success and what he's reading, and doing that on maybe Twitter. Maybe LinkedIn. I think LinkedIn is a good place to connect. We'll have his details in the show notes. But if you are interested in starting to understand the language of innovation and how it can change the way your organization looks in innovation, and just open your mind up and open the organization up, he has got a really great autoresponder. So simply send an email to language@persportives.com. That's language@persportives, persportives.com. I'm not going to put that in the show notes because then Jack will be spammed. But if you did forget that, you can always tweet me, email me, ask me what it is. So it was really interesting one to catch up with Jack. Because it is something, innovation is something I'm very interested in. Recently had that podcast chat, which I've got a lot of great feedback with Steve Sammartino. And one of the outcomes of that chat, and it's me catching up with my mate Sammer, or Steve. I've got to make sure I say Steve so people know that that's his first name. Is that we've teamed up to sort of merge our knowledge. Steve has a terrific startup boot camp, effectively, that he runs with corporate teams to bring out the startup knowledge and the mentality and the startup mindset out of corporate teams. And so what we're looking to do is to run similar sports startup style workshops in the sports industry. So if you want to start tackling some of the stuff that we discussed with Jack on the podcast, I'd love to talk to you about what Steve and I are planning with our sports startup workshops, challenging teams. A lot of the things that Jack talked about, cross-functional teams, coming up with ideas, understanding what a MVP is, and not the Kevin Durant MVP, but the minimum viable product, how they could put that together. That might lead to things like hackathons and the like. So it's going to be, I've always liked working with Sammer, whether it be on podcasts or events. So I know it'll be a fun and engaging environment for staff, as we discussed with Jack, to get uncomfortable and find out what comes out of that uncomfortableness. So if you're interested in that, please get in touch. Sean@sportsgeekhq.com. Send me an email. Love to run some of these sessions with Steve. Let us know. As I said at the top, last call. It's last call on the comedy shows. They're happening this week. This is launching on the Monday. I'll be on stage on the Thursday. Thursday, April 12, Sunday, April 15. If there are tickets available, you'll be able to get them at seancallinan.com/comedy. If tickets are not available, you'll be able to get them by calling me or sending me an email. Sean@sportsgeekhq.com will get me. And if you really want to come and you're in town, I'd love to see you there. That's it from me. As always, you've got plenty of resources at SportsGeek. We've got our Facebook data guide, which you can get at sportsgeekhq.com/FBdata, and then the follow-up guide on how we go about leveraging that data and starting build campaigns to sell tickets, sell merchandise, amplify sponsorship campaigns, sell corporate hospitality. If you're interested in doing that via Facebook, you can go and download that book. That's at sportsgeekhq.com/FBcampaigns. Thank you very much to my guest, Jack Elkins, for this episode. Until next episode, my name is Sean Callinan, and you've been listening to Sports Geek.
Join over 1,000 sports business executives in Sports Biz Slack. Go to sportsgeekhq.com/Slack. Please share your fave episodes of Sports Geek on LinkedIn. Be sure to tag Sean Callinan. Go to sportsgeekhq.com for more sports digital marketing resources. Want to chat with Sean? Book a time for a call. Go to sportsgeekhq.com/phone call.